Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today as we begin our Advent services. When we are considering the Advent services these next few weeks, we want to look at the promise of God in the Old Testament, and we want to see how that links to the promised salvation in which we trust in through Jesus Christ. We want to bring those promises to His birth and then look at His birth as we anticipate the salvation that He has brought to us. And today, we're going to look at the first one, and that is that Jesus is the seed of Abraham, Abraham's offspring. That's what we want to start with today. Now, Abraham is a fascinating character in a number of ways. His call is just kind of not based on anything. There's nothing leading up to it. God just goes to Abram at that time and says this. The Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the call of Abram, and it's not because he was special. It is not because that he had done anything out of the ordinary at this point, that it is solely based on the fact that God went to him and chose him and decided to put upon him his blessing. Abraham, when he had received this call from God, heeded God's call and obeyed. And really that becomes the model for us and for our faith, that when God calls, we listen and we act upon that. There are a number of verses that talk about Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith," and there it is, the faith is going to be important here, "Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." In other words, God did not lay out before Abraham the entire plan. He came to Abraham and said, "I want you to go." And Abraham went. That was his faith. As a result, God subsequently made a covenant with Abraham. He entered into a promise with him. He promised, even in his call, to bless him and to multiply him throughout all of the world and through all the nations. And God promised, when he left his land, to give him a new land. We see that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there Abraham built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him." And so God and Abraham enter into this covenant relationship. God promised to multiply Abraham and his descendants. In Genesis 15, verse 5, it says, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Now this was quite remarkable, because Abraham and Sarah were unable to have children. And it is not until they're 100 years old that God blesses them with a child. And yet, because of this promise, God took that child of the promise and multiplied the descendants of Abraham. So God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. And in Genesis 17, 4 through 5, we read this. It says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations." Now, God comes to Abraham later, after Isaac, the child of the promise, is born, and he challenges him. This is Abraham's final great test, and it's quite a remarkable test. Abraham had to take this child of the promise and offer him on the altar back to God. Can you imagine that? Taking your child and offering him to God. What kind of God would ask such a thing? What kind of person would follow through with such a thing? And yet there was this special relationship, this special understanding between them. We read this in Genesis chapter 22. "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This fulfillment, the fulfillment to this promise of God, is impossible on the part of Abraham. It is only possible by God's actions. And so Abraham took his son, put him on the altar, went to strike him, and God stopped his hand. And he didn't follow through. And yet he knew his intent, and he promised to bless Abraham, reaffirming those promises. And so as we consider this, we have several things that I want to point out this morning. First, Jesus is the true seed of Abraham. Now, Isaac was the child of the promise then and there. But there was a true promise, a true seed, a true child that would come and fulfill all of the things that had to be fulfilled. And that seed was Jesus. In one of the most riveting passages of Scripture, it says this. Now listen. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Riveting, right? We love those genealogical passages. However, the first verse, this is the first verse of Matthew, Matthew 1:1. This is what it says, and this is important. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so we see that in Jesus Christ, he is the seed of Abraham. He is the son of Abraham. And so the promise to Abraham, which was an eternal promise, is fulfilled and can only be fulfilled through the coming of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, "and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." So Galatians tells us exactly that Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham, through which all of the promises would be fulfilled. So what does this mean for us? How can we look at this genealogy of Abraham and see Jesus, the son of Abraham? What does that mean for us? Well, as we sang in the song, he is the hope of the ages. All of the promises that were made way back in Abraham's time and after Abraham all pointed to Jesus. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. He is going to come and he is going to fulfill all of my promises, all of my purposes, all of my plans. He is the one to look forward to. Even for us, on this side of the cross, we still look forward to Jesus Christ. He is coming. He is going to bring salvation to its fullest. He is going to bring to an end all of our struggle against sin. All of our struggle against infirmities and all of the challenges that we face in life. He is coming. He is our hope. We look towards him. He will fulfill all of God's promises. He will bring them about. He will give us eternal life. It is found in Jesus. And it is something that we can hope for. He is the hope of the ages. We look to him to bring all of these things about. And the amazing thing is that this plan for Jesus to be born, the seed of Abraham, goes way back. It is a plan that God made from the beginning and throughout all of the time and the nations and the wars and the natural disasters, through all of the events of human history. Despite all of those things happening, it still came to Jesus. He still was born. He still went to the cross. He still fulfilled all of the plans of God. We do not need to fear what is going on around us. God is in control. Jesus has come, and he has brought salvation with him. Our second point this morning, Jesus, the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, the sacrifice for our sins. Acts chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. You are sons of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away from every one of you from your iniquities. It says that he raised up Jesus. He raised up Jesus. Now, this is not a reference to the resurrection from the dead. This is a reference to the coming of Christ. He has been raised up. He has appeared. He has come to us. This is what we celebrate during the Christmas season. God with us. And so he has come. He has come in order to bring forgiveness for us. He has come for the forgiveness of sins. And so we see Jesus. We are confronted with Jesus. We think about his birth. We think about him living his life, declaring the kingdom of God, and going to the cross. We think about all of that in order to bring forgiveness for us. And we are confronted with a decision to make. Will we make the right decision? Will we repent and turn from our sins? Will we turn to Jesus? To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, that's us, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That's what repentance is all about. Look, we're all in the same boat. We all have these sins that we are challenged with and confronted with day in and day out. And the call to our heart by God himself is that we would repent of that, that we would see it for what it is, that we would hate our sin, that we would seek forgiveness that is found in Jesus, and we would go to him every step of the way. Will we be perfect from this moment on? Well, sadly, no. But that just reinforces this truth. I need Jesus all the time. I need him all the time. I wasn't saved by my greatness and my own perfection. I cannot keep myself because I'm so great and perfect. No, I cast myself upon Jesus. I need him, only him. And so we turn from our evil ways. We turn to him. We receive the salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. So let us repent and believe. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we have this account. Peter heals a man who was born lame. A man who was born lame, could not walk. There was probably some kind of deformity for his legs. So Peter, in dealing with him, then there's this big hoopla, and they're in the temple, and they're preaching to the people, and the leaders are all riled up. And Peter says this, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't this a great verse, a great promise? The call comes to us, repent, repent. Be converted. This is the first step. This is what we need. We need to be transformed from our old man to the new man. So that our sins... All right, thank you, Philip. I saw you out of the corner of my eyes. This is water, right? Can I trust you? I appreciate that. I haven't mastered the art of talking and drinking at the same time, but we'll see how it goes. And I apologize. I am trying to get off over this cough. As long as I don't talk or eat, I am fine, 100%. But this is my job. I got to talk. I can't just sit. I got to eat too. I can't avoid that. But all right. So I guess I'm not so fine anyway. Peter said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." That your sins may be blotted out. And that is the heart of it. Past, present, and future sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus, forgiven by him. Don't miss that last part. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We should hate our sin, and we should do everything within our power to resist and to flee it. But even as we strive, He gives us times of refreshing. And above it all, there is a constant refreshing that we can experience by the presence of His Holy Spirit within our hearts. Number three, Jesus, the object of our faith. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. And so Abraham was intent on following through. How could Abraham have even considered doing something like that, sacrificing his son? He could do it because he had faith in God. Abraham had, for as little as was revealed to him, he had an incredible faith. He believed that Isaac was the son of the promise. And he believed that God would do anything that he had to do in order to keep his promise. In other words, when God makes the promise, God is going to keep his promise. And here is something that we don't realize about Abraham a lot of times. Let's look carefully at this verse. What did Abraham believe? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." Look at this next part. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Did you get that? From which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, Abraham took Isaac to the cross, fully trusting and believing that if he had plunged the knife into Isaac, God would have raised him from the dead in order to keep his promise. Isn't that incredible? Well, years later, another father offered his son, and there was no one at this time who stayed his hand. The father offered his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and this time the son was sacrificed. He was sacrificed on the cross so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. He was sacrificed on the cross because of his tremendous love for you and for me. What love is this that we see in the death of Jesus Christ, taking our sins upon himself? For me, I don't deserve it, yet he did it for me. And because he did it for me, I have the hope of eternal life. He is my hope of the ages. He went to the cross. He bore my sins. He was offered as a sacrifice for me. And he is my hope of eternal life. So we look to Jesus and we consider what great things he has done for us. In Hebrews 9:26, it says, "He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just," Christ, "for the unjust," me, "that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." So what are we challenged to do then as a result of this? Let us look to Jesus. Let us place our faith in him. Let us trust him for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us look to Jesus, the seed of Abraham, our Savior.